You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and a very warm welcome to the Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill for Easter Monday. And as usual, we've got a fantastic array of racing coming up on Easter Monday, headed by the Irish Grand National, and it's all live on Racing Radio. Here in the studio, my name's John Gibby on this edition of the podcast, and I'm joined in the studio by Lord John Budden. Hello, John, how are you?
Very well, thank you, John, and looking forward to a busy week, really. Let's hope the rain keeps away.
Yeah, let's hope so, because we've already lost a couple of meetings on the Monday, and I know we've got a couple of doubts about potential meetings on the Tuesday as well, so hopefully we don't have too many abandonments.
Yeah, it's really been quite dreadful, the weather, and, I remarked when I was at Carlisle, not at the weekend, but the meeting before, that it was the first time they'd been good in the official going description since the early autumn.
Yeah. Well, Carlisle also, of course, racing on Saturday, and we'll start off by having a look at some of Saturday's action. Of course, the feature sort of meeting of the day is the world's richest race meeting, and that is the Dubai World Cup meeting over in Maidan. And the feature race itself won by a name familiar to British punters in Thunder Snow, but probably more interest for on the domestic front in the Dubai Gold Cup, where Vizirabad was the winner from a British train, Sheikh Zayed Road, back in second. But I think before the race, John, there were more hopes for a Big Orange, of course, Michael Bell trained horse, who had a fairly disappointing showing in the race in the end.
Yes, disappointing run, but I wasn't that surprised. Michael Bell gave a little chat to ITV Racing during the afternoon, and he did remark, he opened it by saying that Big Orange had not been quite himself on his arrival in Maidan, and there was a bit of a worry, but the concern had been lifted, he said, and that Big Orange had been working really well on the last couple of goes. But when that sort of thing happens, despite the fact that the exercise work may look all right, there's always a question mark, and I don't think Big Orange was quite 100% yesterday.
Probably when he's at his very best, he's good enough to at least be putting it up to Vizirabad, if not beating him. But he's certainly good enough to be beating horses like, you know, Sheikh Zayed Road and Frontiersman. So something clearly was amiss somewhere.
I think so, yes. I think we get the best out of Big Orange, you know, John, in the middle of the season, on good ground, possibly even a little bit quicker, around places like Ascot, for example. I wouldn't certainly rule him out of a second Gold Cup victory merely because he failed at Maidan on World Cup Day. I think there were definitely excuses. I don't think it was 100%, and one assumes that, providing it was only a small setback and that he comes back to form, that we shall see the old Big Orange in action once the ground begins to improve and the sun comes out here in this country.
If it ever comes out in this
if
country.
If it ever comes out. It doesn't come out in Cumbria very often, I can tell you, John.
If in terms of thinking about Big Orange's campaign, presumably the route they're going to take with this horse is, as you say, the big staying prizes, again, the Gold Cup, the Goodwood Cup, races like that.
I would have thought so, yes. He's a cup horse par excellence, and obviously sort of 1 mile, 2 miles, it is his ideal trip, and there are plenty of opportunities, but I would imagine that there'll be fair care to have him lightly raced so he's absolutely at his peak and spot on for the really big ones, particularly the Ascot Gold Cup.
That was the Dubai Gold Cup. It was won by Vizirabad with Big Orange down the fields. Anything else from World Cup night take your eye, John? You're a big dirt racing man?
Not particularly so, but I was absolutely delighted with Thunder Snow's win. I think it's so good for Bin Soror, you know. He's been with us in this country now for some time. And my goodness me, he couldn't speak a word of English, I remember, when he first appeared. But he's absolutely fluent now. And I think it's really good news for Syed Bin Soror, particularly to have won with Thunder Snow. It also raises the hope, I think, John, that it's not going to be a complete Aidan O'Brien monopoly on the flat this summer. I really would love to see Godolphin going head-to-head with Coolmore and winning their share of races. It's never good to have one particular sort of training centre being absolutely in charge and monopolising the situation. Tremendous horses, tremendous training by Aidan O'Brien, but it would be nice to have real competition. And Godolphin had two winners on World Cup Day, and this Thunder Snow was really tremendous. Having said that, of course, Mendelssohn was pretty impressive as well. Goes, I think, for the Kentucky Derby.
Yes. Do you think that's a race he could prove competitive in? Of course, a lot of that depends on the form from across the pond, but it's a race that Aidan O'Brien seems quite keen to have a say in.
Yeah, I think he's got a good chance. He's got more than a good chance. I suppose things like draw and the way the race is run. But he seems a straightforward horse, and I think Ryan Moore will, have a really good go at the Kentucky Derby. Jeremy Nasida is also sending a horse out there, I think.
Gronkowski.
Yes, Gronkowski, who I thought was pushed to win, actually. And I don't think he's quite good enough. Certainly not as good as Mendel.
When you compare the two performances, I think it's quite easy to say which the more impressive was.
Absolutely.
So that was Maidan. We also had racing on the domestic front on Saturday as well. And you wanted to put in a quick mention for racing at Carlisle, where I believe you were, John.
Yes, absolutely. Carlisle had some pretty competitive racing yesterday. There was one outstanding point, and that was the arrival of Nico de Boinville. Now, he didn't appear in a blare of triumphs or any trumpets or anything like that, but those of us who had observed the overnight runners saw that Nico was actually riding for Brian Ellison. Now, he doesn't ride for Brian Ellison very often, if ever before. He was on a horse called Ballycrystal, who had formed to win the Novice Chase, the second race on the card, had quite decent form, both as a bumper and over hurdles, and now as a chaser. A rare occasion to ride for Brian Ellison, and it was Nico's only ride on the card. Now, he's going to all the way up from Lambourne to have one ride at Carlisle, and that was for Brian Ellison. I thought it was an outstanding hint, and on this occasion, it came off. He gave Ballycrystal a splendid ride. The horse responded, wandered a bit on the flat after the last fence, but Nico drove him out and he won by 3/4 of a length. And, job done, 3-1, punters happy, and Nico comes down to ride, I think, at Plumpton on Sunday afternoon.
So it's all going on for Nico de Boinville at this moment after a fruitful Cheltenham, of course. Did well for his boss, Nicky Henderson, but he's branching out a bit more now, actually, isn't he? He's running for quite a few different trainers.
Yes, he is. And interesting that he should have been booked by Brian Ellison. And I thought he gave Mike Bite, incidentally, a great ride in the Gold Cup. There's no question
about that. Couldn't go on the ground, could he?
No, Mike Bite, I thought, was tremendous because, he obviously, I spoke to the owner really about a week before and he was sort of standing outside in his garden and it was pouring with rain.
Yeah.
It was a good performance to run the horse, really, because quite clearly he was, not helped in any way by the ground.
We also had racing at Haydock. They have this this finals day. They have a number of different series. They have middle distance chase, 2-mile hurdle. And in the 2-mile hurdle division, we had William of Orange win for Donald McCain.
Absolutely. A Challenger Series finals, 50 grand for each race. A little bit disappointing in a way that this is always has to happen towards the end of the season. But on a day when flat racing dominating, it didn't really get the publicity it deserved. William of Orange was very interesting. Wind operation had improved the performance, no question about that. Doesn't always, but it clearly needs to be taken into account. And William of Orange, a decent horse when with Sir Mark Prescott on the flat, and now with Donald McCain. I was pleased because Lorcan Murta was in the saddle. I know the Murta family well. They come from Cumbria, not far from where I live. And you've got Connor Murta, the younger one, and Lorcan, the elder one. And rather like the Bowens, the elder one tends somehow to get a second position.
Yeah.
And it was good to see Lorcan winning this race. And he's a good young jockey, doing very well for Donald McCain. Great to see Donald McCain approaching his 100th winner of the season. When you consider he had all those horses taken away from him, he's done amazingly well to get back in a leading position in the sort of Midlands Northern area.
Donald McCain then and Lorcan Murta winning with William of Orange in that 2 mile series final handicap at Haydock on Saturday. Anything else to mention from Saturday? Musselburgh obviously had must be their first for that meeting of the season. Yeah, it would be, because it was only the thing about the third fixture, wasn't it? And the Queen's Cup was won by Brandon Castle. That's a fairly valuable prize.
Yes, and you know, Brandon Castle was a good winner. Very exciting finish to this £100,000 event. Neck, neck, neck. Oh, neck and neck. Sure. I don't know if it was the third neck, but the first three were separated just by two necks, and the horse that interested me in that race, John, was the third. Yukon Glen. Jim Goldie. Now, Jovial Jim has been slightly overtaken in the Scottish flat racing title sort of honours by both Ian Jardine and Keith Dalgleish, of course. But he's still a very, very good trainer, and he's always thought Yukon Glen was an extremely promising horse. Ran well in some big races last season, and you know, that horse really ought to win one of the big staying handicaps during the season.
One to keep an eye on then, potentially, Yukon Glen in that 3:35 at Musselburgh on Saturday, the Queen's Cup, where it's third to Brandon Castle. So that was Saturday's racing. Now we jump ahead, John, and we take a look at the action coming up on Monday. And as always here on the podcast, you've picked out a couple of selections for us from Monday's racing. So what's your first choice?
Well, we go to Market Raisin. I had, in fact, picked out two absolute certain winners at Redcar and then discovered that Redcar was abandoned. So we're having a slight pick in the poke, but it's going to be at Market Raisin 3:20 and six runners for this particular chase. And it's interesting form two of them. Going down the line, Old Salt is at the top, Evan Williams' horse. I think he's quite well-named because he doesn't win very often, and it was last at Huntingdon most recently, so I've put a little line through him. Then we've got Square Bidiani, who's in this race. Now, the only reason I want to mention this horse is trained by Mickey Hammond.
Yes.
And Mickey Hammond is in absolutely peak form at the moment. Mind you, he tends to produce winners always at places like Wetherby and Catterick in particular. But he is spreading his wings, and he's got winners everywhere. And Square Bidiani represents Mickey Hammond.
Really is in good form as well. Three winners from his last five runners.
Yes. He's in cracking form. And he'll have to be, if he's going to get this one to win, I think, honestly, John. But nevertheless, then we have Zephyr Aramis. Now, this horse has got a definite chance. Michael Scudamore has also been quietly among the winners. And he, too, has been sending his horses around the country. And Zephyr Aramis was a winner two outings ago at Leicester, won well, and was not disgraced when third at Huntingdon last time out. I think he's got a definite chance in this race, Zephyr Aramis. But I'm going to go for a winner, what you might call third-time lucky, too. It's Iskabeg Lane, who is trained by Sue Smith and ridden by Danny Cook, and the combination have a very good record at Market Rasen. Sue Smith's horses over the years always need to be watched when coming to the Lincolnshire course. Now, people might say, what on earth's Button doing picking this horse? Because it's fallen on its last two occasions when even money favourite. Certainly fallen on the penultimate. It ran very disappointingly.
Finished last of all.
It was running quite okay, the Atoxeter, but then made a couple of mistakes and weakened badly in the home straight. The ground was appalling, mind you, and it weakened out of the money. Prior to that, it had been at Market Rasen, and this time it did fall. And he was travelling best of all, Iskerbeg Lane, in that contest. And I think he would undoubtedly have gone close to winning if he had not made that unfortunate blunder. Ran well, I think it was a Catterick before that to get in the money, and I think with the stable very much trainers to follow at Market Rasen, that Iskerbeg Lane can make it third time lucky.
Iskerbeg Lane, Len, the first selection of John Budden in the 3:20 at Market Rasen on Monday. And what about your second choice?
Well, I've got to go to Fairy House for the Irish Grand National. Undoubtedly, the Irish guru will choose the correct horse, but nevertheless, we have to go for what's going to be a really exciting contest at Fairy House. Very good racing at Fairy House throughout the festival there. I don't think the top weights have got a great record in this race. I can't see Outlander winning it. That's a sort of precious thing to say, but a dangerous thing to say as well. But he's got a lot of weight, and he was disappointing at Cheltenham, I thought. Bell's Hill, on the other hand, who's got quite a lot of weight, is a definite runner with more than a squeak. A classy horse and an excellent winner at Fairy House last time out from Genie in the Bottle. And I think Bell's Hill is the class horse in the race with a definite chance, John. The two I'd like, though, are a little bit further down the weights. Maldini has been a horse that I have been following without much luck over the last year or so. I was told he was definitely going to win at Cheltenham last year. He didn't, but he ran well, and he's run well in a few infrequent outings this season. He ran particularly well two outings ago when fifth in a race that's worked out really well. That was at Punchestown, and he was making quite a lot of late headway. On the strength of that, I thought he was a good thing for the Kim Muir. And two fences out, I was counting the money. he was absolutely on the bridle. I don't know whether you watched it, yeah. Don, but it just seemed to be only a moment for young Mullins to sort of just press the button and Maldini was going to go past and win.
He's cruising, wasn't he?
He absolutely cruising. Well, he didn't. Whether he needed to be kept later, or it's difficult to say, but he actually didn't go past the long-time leader, and he finished second again. But he's nicely weighted here, and I think this sort of race could well bring the best out of Maldini, and I would expect him to be held up, given plenty of cover until the very end, that if he jumps okay, I think he has got quite a turn of foot. And I thought Maldini would go, pretty well here. And the other one I quite like down in the weights a bit is the horse who finished second last year, Bless the Wings. Gordon Elliott, of course, has got a lot of runners in the contest, but I like Bless the Wings. He's very much a horse for courses here. Fell in the cross country last time out. I don't really take that as a serious upset. He's nicely weighted, and he's got Brian Hughes in the saddle. And Brian Hughes is, not quite going to win the jockey's title in this country, but he's going to go a good second for the second year in a row. And he, to me, is an outstanding rider, and I'd love to see him win the Irish National for Gordon Elliott on Bless the Wings. But I'm going to go for Maldini.
You're going for Maldini in the Irish National. It's at Fairy House. It's at 5 o'clock. On Monday, Easter Monday, plenty of racing to get stuck into on Monday. Wolverhampton, Cork, Plumpton Fairy House, Market Raisin, Fakenham and Chepstow, Huntingdon and Redcastle had the abandoned, but you can listen to the rest live on Racing Radio. Please do join them then online and on the app, and tune in tomorrow for another edition of the Daily Racing Podcast. I'll be joined by Tom Morley. Don't miss it. And John, thanks for joining us today.
That's great to be here, John.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.